Let's turn to Philippians this morning, chapter 1. Last week we had our introduction, and we kind of went back, if you remember, and kind of retraced our tracks a little bit with how that church got started. And once you kind of get a feel for how that church got started, it kind of unfolds and starts to open up, and you start to reflect and see, wow, if it started in this kind of a fashion as Paul's writing back, this idea of the main theme of Philippians is the joy of the Lord. And Paul, writing from prison in Rome and still expressing a heart full of joy and wanting to, you know, just really share good things, you know, with the people there in Philippi, and them knowing, you know, how the church was birthed. Paul was in prison with some of the others, and how God just moved in such a spectacular way. And so this is something that they identify with. And Paul writing back and kind of is giving them this these words of encouragement and to stay that course, you know, with joy and to be focused on that. When I was thinking about this this week and thinking about the joy of the Lord and how the joy of the Lord, you know, we've talked about it's our strength. We talked about that from Nehemiah. And then as I was reflecting and thinking even more into this a little bit further and what God's intent and his desire is for each of us and how we might walk in that, you know, joy is really part of the outworking of the fruit of the Spirit that's really founded in love, right? So this idea of God pouring out his love on our hearts and our lives, for God revealing himself to us, giving us that free gift of everlasting life, forgiving us of all of our sins, redeeming us, that we might have fellowship with him. And so this kind of then opens up this floodgate of through love of this joy that we have in our lives. And isn't it something, though, that that's the one thing that Satan really, really tries to rip us off for so often is joy. And it's such a simple thing, you know, to just experience joy. There's so many things that block or aspire to block that kind of flow through our lives of joy. And mainly the reason being is because if you're not expressing that, then other people are going to look at this and just go, so Christianity, awesome. You know, sour grapes, who wants it? You know what I mean? But when we really have this, and I'm not talking about this fakey thing, I'm talking about the real deal, where God's moving in our lives and, you know, there's God's part, right? And then there's our part. There's God's done the work. God was wanting to continue to minister to us. And so as we're going through this, we're kind of seeing Paul kind of refreshing, kind of hitting refresh button for us, you know, and restoring, getting us back to that place of reflecting on that. So let's get started. Verse 1, chapter 1, Philippians. Paul and Timothy, bond servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi with the bishops and deacons. So he's just writing to the ministry, the church leaders, you know, they kind of start off in, instead of just, you know, we talk about this when you read the letters, but it's important to make note. You know, they start off a little bit different than we do. We don't necessarily say, hey, this is so-and-so. I'm, you know, you kind of just get the letter, you read through it, and then it says, oh, this is so-and-so. Well, they just kind of stayed up front. Hey, this is who I am. This is what I'm doing. They make it clear who they're writing to and what they're communicating. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as Paul starts in verse 3, he says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you all with joy, that your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, which all are partakers with me of grace. For God is my witness, how greatly I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. Starting off this communication, letting them know how much he loves them. And how much God loves them. And that their fellowship, what they share, what the bond that they have, what we have as Christians, the bond that we have, is not as we see oftentimes as a country club experience, where we all kind of like the same things, and we all live in the same neighborhood, and we all work at the same place, and we all get the same haircuts, and we all, you know, wear the same clothes, and all this stuff. I mean, that's not what our bond is in any of those things necessarily. But the bond is in the relationship of being born again into a family, and that's the family of God. That's the bond that we have. That's was what knits the group together. And he says, man, from the very early on beginning of the birth of that group, that church there in Philippi, that was the focus, was just on the personal relationship that they have in Jesus Christ. Now, I know for some of us, it goes back a number of years for us to reflect on the time that we gave our lives to the Lord. And for some of you, maybe you grew up following Jesus Christ, walking with God, and had this relationship with the Lord. And for some of you, it's fairly new, having a walk with God. But the reality is, that's the thing we have in common. And I like, as Paul starts, he says, man, I thank God upon every remembrance of you. He is reflecting back and remembering something positive of the relationship that they have. So it's not that we, you know, just get saved and we erase all of our memory of things. That's not what it's supposed to be. But that as God's developing this in us in this journey, that we're remembering it. So this idea in our mind, because we're dealing with joy, and joy is an outworking expression of God's love and the work that he's done in our hearts. But the battle that we face, and this is going to be all through Philippians that we're going to spend a lot of time going through, because it is an issue. It was an issue 2,000 years ago, and it's an issue today. The battle's in our minds. Satan tries to get in there and rip us off and start talking us into these different things, distractive thoughts, distractive things, sin issues, all kinds of stuff that the enemy tries to bring up. Look at where Paul's going with remembrance. So it's important that it's not that we throw away every remembrance, but that we remember the things that are worth remembering. There's things that are worth remembering. Paul says, man, I thank God upon every remembrance of you. And then he cites those things that are so significant. And I think that's important for us, because so often Satan gets in our minds and we start thinking only about the negative stuff. I got jacked on that deal. This went bad that way. This happened this way. And we go down these things. Some of you are working through issues that many of the rest may not know anything about. But you're not alone in the Lord. God knows, and God wants to continue to minister to you in this. And as you reflect in your life, reflect on those things that are going to be good. Again, Paul's going to spend a lot of time on this type of thing as we go through Philippians. I thank God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with all joy. As he's bringing those prayers to the Lord, requesting or praying for maybe some of their needs, he's thanking God about who they are and the fellowship that they have. So in our prayer time, as we reflect and as we pray, man, with joy, making those requests, bringing those things to the Lord. And the real reason for the joy is for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. That there's a bond in the Lord, serving the Lord, doing those things of the Lord, and there's this unity that's sensed because of what God is doing in their lives, being confident of this very thing. And man, we use this verse a lot, but so true. Again, where is Paul writing from? Is this the kind of letter that you think you'd get penned from somebody who's sitting in jail, chained to the prison guard in Rome? You know, incarcerated? Man, you know, I haven't had scrambled eggs with diced ham and cheese in a long time. You know, I mean, he's not whining about all the things that he doesn't have. I am very concerned, because I know this is, again, part of the battle of the mind. We can start to shift our focus off on what God's not doing, but that we think he should be doing, and he could be writing a letter communicating in that same kind of a way. He could be writing a letter saying, Well, you know, I've been praying and praying, and, you know, God's just not setting me free. I'm just stuck here, man. I want to do this. I want to do that, but I'm stuck. He's doing what he can do. He's penning a letter. He's sending something. He's doing what he can. Have you ever thought of the things that maybe, God, what can I do today? What would you have me to do today? Yeah, I'm kind of in a bad spot. You ever sat in a doctor's office situation? I mean, I know some of you might be doctors. I know some of you are, as a matter of fact. But some of us that aren't and that just sit in the office waiting for you. Some of you are very respectful of time, but some people aren't very respectful of time. And if we interact with you the way you interact with us, we'd have a horrible situation. But the reality is, you ever thought about utilizing that time? You know, you go to the emergency room or you go to some of these things. Have you ever thought, man, maybe there's somebody I could talk to? You know, maybe there's something. I always, whenever I'm in those situations, there's always something that's a lot more messed up situation than what I'm in. At least that usually gets revealed to me. And it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity in the Lord. But Paul is doing that kind of thing, and that's where we learn this, is Paul's example in this. And he says, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Paul is sending this word of encouragement. He's sitting in jail, and he's writing this word of encouragement. Hey, stay with it. God's begun a good work in your life. Stay with it. He's going to follow it through. He's going to complete that which he started. Oftentimes, when we find ourselves in difficulty, when we find ourselves stretched and in a bad spot, that's the thing that we start doubting. We start doubting, well, did I really hear from God? Should I really have been doing this? Why did I choose this? I should have chosen something different. You know, whatever it might be, we start to doubt the things that the Lord has ministered to us. And again, isn't that the enemy? Bringing in that doubt, bringing in that fear. Now, we want to operate in faith because faith conquers fear. And so we want to operate in faith, not just made up faith in our mind, but trust in what God's doing in our lives. Trusting God by faith as he ministers in our hearts. Being confident, I like that. Being confident of this very thing, that God, the one Jesus, who began that work in each of our lives, that good work, it's not just a work, but a good work in you, in each of us individually, will complete it. He's going to follow this through. So despite my circumstances or your circumstances, our situations, despite our fears, whatever is going on in our lives, God is going to be faithful because God is always faithful. Always. God is always faithful. And he will complete that which he began in each of our lives. Man, I am thankful for that. I've seen dark days like many of you. Times where you just, I mean, it's hard to see anything in front of you in the Lord. But God is at work. Paul is not talking about all the bummers that he's facing. He's encouraging them. And how can he do that unless he is encouraged himself? Paul the Apostle said, that which I have first received, that's what I'm dispensing or that's what I'm giving out. You and I, in order to be effective with joy, with the ministry of God's love and his grace, have to be experiencing that on a personal level. That has to be yours. That has to be mine as an individual. I need to experience that love each day, that forgiveness, that grace, that goodness, and walk in it that the joy might be revealed. He says, just as it is right for me in verse 7 to think this of you all because I have you in my heart. He goes, man, you're tucked away in my heart. I'm not there with you physically, but man, you are with me and I'm with you. We're together in this gospel, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers with me of grace. He says, this is all going to be for the good. We're all beneficiaries of God's grace. That unmerited love and favor that we experience as believers, that God wants to shower upon each of our lives. He says now, as verse 8, for God is my witness, how greatly I long for you. He wants to see them. And he says, it's not just with, you know, because you're friends of mine, but with the affection of Jesus, that deep desire to interact with them in the Lord. And this I pray. Now he breaks off into really his prayer. These are kind of a thankful heart that he's expressing in verses 3 through 8. And then in verses 9, 10, and 11, he kind of breaks off into this little prayer. So we kind of get a peek into Paul's prayer life. It is, "In this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, and that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God." He's saying, man, I just want all of that to be yours. So again, he starts off with this remembrance of the group, this group that he helped birth this church. Tough, difficult situation. There's not a person here. There's not a person here that knowing what they started off with. Now, we can read what it ended up like, but there's not a person here that would have signed up for that missionary journey, knowing that they were going to end up in the Philippian jail. None of you would have. No, I wouldn't have. None of us would. We got to be honest. We wouldn't. And if we really saw how rough the conditions were in jail in those days, in that time, they had much less respect for human life than what we express, at least here in the United States in general. They didn't care whether they ate. They didn't care. They just didn't care. They just threw them in there, and they leave them. And no one would have signed up for that, but that's how God birthed that church. Difficult adversity. Paul, writing back to them, he's in adverse circumstances right now, and he knows they're going to face adversity as time goes by, and he's encouraging them, hey, I remember how this got started. Stay with it. Stay the course with what God's purpose for you and for me, what he's purposed for our lives, and this prayer that he expresses to the Lord, just asking that their love may abound still more and more. And so inside of love, so he's not just asking that they would have knowledge and discernment. He's saying based on love that you would have knowledge and discernment. And that's important to note. Brothers and sisters, especially today, that's important to note. Because we have knowledge increase. Read through Daniel. In the last days, that was one of the things that's going to happen. You're going to zip to and fro quickly. And that knowledge was going to increase. The rapid rate, if you read it statistically, it's unbelievable how much it increases and how short a span of time it takes for it to double or triple in information because of what we have with the internet and so on. This is the age of information. We've got all kinds of knowledge out there. But knowledge puffs up and love builds up. And so we want to have healthy knowledge based on love and be moving with discernment based on love. So, because sometimes, quite frankly, you may get discernment from the Lord regarding a matter, a situation. You may get discernment, but you could take that, and if you're not walking in the Spirit, it can shift into a critical spirit. And now you've got this information, this knowledge, you have discernment about something, but if it's not tempered with love, then man, you could mishandle that, and it could hurt other people, other brothers and sisters. And we don't want that. We want to operate with this wisely, that love may abound still more and more in knowledge and discernment. I like verse 10. I think verse 10 is very important, that you may approve the things that are excellent. You say, man, again, it's this mind situation that can so quickly, does anybody else battle with just a negative perspective sometimes of situations? Some of you might, a couple of you. Well, good. Some of us are a little bit, it can slip. I'm pretty upbeat most of the time. But sometimes that causes me to be a little bit more prey to some deep spots sometimes, you know? Sometimes all of a sudden I'm not paying attention. All of a sudden I can find myself in this dark place. And it's like, wow, how did I get here? You know? And just because I'm generally pretty optimistic in situations and, you know, and stuff. But man, it can get real dark sometimes. And how important it is to know where the light switch is, right? You end up with a lot of bruises and, you know, fumbling around in the dark. You want to, man, know right where the switch is. And for me, it's just get into the Word, get focused on the Lord, worship. You know, for me, each week, this is what happens for me when I get together with you guys. It's like just a big giant light switch that goes off for me. Man, I'm encouraged. I'm blessed to be around you. I enjoy the fellowship that we share, talking about the different things that God's doing in our lives. It's just a huge blessing. It's awesome. And it's approving together those things that are excellent. I think that's so important. If you are a parent and you have young people in your home, or if you're a parent and you have young people in your home that, or young people that aren't in your home, it's still important that you share. Your young people need to hear encouraging things from you. I didn't say approve the things that aren't worthy of approving. I didn't say that. I don't condone things that aren't worth condoning. I'm not going to be a part of that. I'm not condoning sinful behavior or any of that stuff. But man, it'll go a long way in building great bridges is if you can approve the things that are excellent. It was great. Jeremy and I yesterday got to golf with one of the younger guys from our fellowship, and it was great. You know, none of us are any good. And so our four-man scramble became a three-man scramble. We're already down one now, so our four-man scramble went down to a three-man scramble, and then none of us really can play golf very well. But out of us, somewhere down the line, all of us had something, you know, we contributed, and we all felt good. Hey, man, we contributed. Do you realize, I mean, that's the way the body of Christ is? None of us are really good at all of this, you know? I mean, it's not, it's just something that God does in our lives. If you start thinking you're good at some of it, you're already down in a bad spot. You're going down in a bad place, you know? I don't know where that other thing came from, but that I stopped it before it happened. But you don't want to go into a big swirl mode where you're starting to think you're all that, because you're not. None of us are. We're all just trying to do this thing, follow the Lord, and let God do his thing in and through us. And I love the way Paul writes this, because he's really just communicating to regular people just like you and I, saying, hey, I'm in jail. And, you know, so, but look at, we're all in this together. And it's all, I'm only in jail because of the gospel. That's the only reason he's incarcerated. And he says, man, we kind of share in this whole thing of loving God. And even though I'm in jail and you're free, I know you're going through things. I'm going through things. And he's writing this encouraging thing. And it's just approving the things that are excellent. He's kind of done that in those first few verses, didn't he? He approved the things that was excellent that they're doing. Please find things, because if you don't do that, if we don't do that with each other as brothers and sisters in Christ, if we don't do that as family together, if we don't find ways to encourage and approve the things that are excellent, we are going to start being negative, 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 and finding, now we're sin sniffing and we're finding everything that's wrong with everybody else, and it turns into this big Ricky Rule finder thing, and they don't do it the way I do that, and great, okay. That's not what God called us to. Approve, find something. I think it's great. Find something you can say, you know what? Well done. Thank you. And it goes a long way in building bridges. It's encouraging. It's encouraging to one another. Verse 12, but I want you to know, brethren, I like this. This is kind of personal for me. I want you to know that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. That is so great. Even though this situation has kind of seemingly gone south, it's gone bad, I'm in jail. He goes, but it's really proved out to be a good thing. It ends up being something that's positive. How many times, look at what happened with Joseph. Thrown he was thrown in jail a few times too. Thrown in a pit by his brothers. And that was merciful. The other one wanted to kill him. Said, no, dude, we can't kill him. Just throw him into the pit. Okay, and then let's pull them out of the pit. There's some slave runners coming through town. Sell them off to them. At least we get something out of them, you know. I won't. That's just the truth. He looked at his brothers after all has gone by, many years have transpired, and he's in charge of all of Pharaoh's stuff. And he had wisely, because he had heard from the Lord, he had wisely, and Pharaoh let him do it, he had stored stuff away. And then all of a sudden, his family starts trickling down looking for supplies. And he's able to orchestrate the circumstances to bring them down, the family down. And then he's looking at his brothers, and they're freaked out because he kind of brings them in through, remember, putting the cup inside, then, hey, you stole something from me, and you know, all this stuff. I found it in your stuff, and he had his servants planted in there, but they freaked out. Hey, don't, you know, we're concerned if we don't get back. You know, you know the story with Joseph. But he looks at his brothers. He couldn't bear it anymore. And he looks at them and, man, what you guys meant for evil, God has turned it for good. All these many years, he's got tears running down his cheeks, and he's just saying, hey, you guys, I know what you did to me. You know what you did to me. But God has used it for good. Paul is saying that with that kind of heart. And so sometimes you and I harbor something in our hearts because somebody's wronged us, when in fact, God wants to use that somehow for his glory. God's aware of it. God allowed it. God maybe didn't cause it. God didn't do it, but God allowed it. And we've got to look at it and say, God, I don't know, but will you show me what your purpose might be for this? Oh, I've got enough miles on me now as a believer. I've got enough miles on me to watch that exact type of thing work out. And the things that you learn in difficult seasons and how you can apply those things, they're useful for our growth and to ultimately benefit others. So now, let's read verse 12 again. But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. God's actually used this for his glory and for his purpose. So that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. He says, man, can you imagine being chained to Paul the Apostle? Seriously. Can you imagine being one of the jailers that's standing there chained to this guy and having him reciting the word and talking to you about God all day long for your whole shift? You know, your whole shift, you just chained, you know, going where, you know, just taking him over here. He wants to get something to eat, take him over there. And he's just talking to you about God the whole time. It's just a matter of time. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Eventually, you're going to get saved. Now, I know, generally speaking, though it has occurred to some of us, though it's not the regular occurrence, but we do have people, though you may not be chained to someone, there are people that you interact with on a regular basis that you're kind of stuck with each other. It's important for us to be connected with people outside of the body of Christ. It's important. It's important. Where you work's important. The people you're connected to, it's important. Because you are salt and you are light, and you have an opportunity because they're with you to eventually reflect. And you say, well, you know what? At our workplace, we've been sternly told that we cannot discuss the gospel at all. Okay. You know, I've got an example for you of a fellow in the Bible that never, we have not one recorded word that he ever said, and his name was Lazarus. And yet all of the area, everybody knew about Lazarus and what happened to Lazarus and how Jesus raised him from the dead. You know what? You got resurrected. When you got born again, you got resurrected. You were once dead and now made alive in Christ Jesus. Once dead in our trespasses and sins, but now he's made us alive. That's us. So we're alive now. And just the mere fact that we're alive in the Lord can be a statement in and of itself. And again, I think it's so reflective based on your experiences and your circumstances and how you respond and how you react. How do you handle that? Paul here says, man, the whole palace guard, everybody, even others, man, they know my chains are in Christ. And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. He says, even the others around me that are looking on and know that I'm going through this difficult season, but they're emboldened by this. Sometimes the difficulty can embolden, your difficulty might embolden others. How you walk through your trial might be the very thing that encourages someone else to see how you live and handle a difficult situation might cause them to realize, man, they're finding strength, they're finding help. Maybe there's hope for me. Some indeed preach Christ even from envy and strife, he says, and some from goodwill. He says, some people are just bagging on me because I'm a believer. Some people are, you know, just, you know, making a joke of it or actually aggravating and trying to make an issue of it. And some, though, from goodwill. The former preach Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing, though, to add affliction to my chains. He says, they're not sincere about what they're saying. They're making fun of it. Oh, you need a crutch. Oh, they found religion. Well, what? I never found religion. I hope none of you find religion. Religion never saved a soul. Religion is always seeking to establish its own righteousness by means of personal efforts, works. But relationship, because of God's grace and his mercy, that we have found relationship with the Lord, we are forgiven, not because of our merit, but because of what God has done for us through the cross. So now it's based on grace, not on any efforts or works. Some of these from selfish ambition, they're making fun they're not sincere about it. And they're making fun basically of it. Supposing to maybe add affliction to my chains, Paul says it, but in verse 17, but the latter out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel, says, knowing that this is my purpose, this is my lot, this is what I'm supposed to do, this is my situation. I talked with a friend the other day that was telling me about two of his sons that are in prison. I said, wow, man, I was pretty overwhelmed, you know, just with what he was describing to me. And he looked at me, he says, no, Jim, no, don't be bummed. They flourish there. I looked at him and he goes, no, really, they flourish there. They're messed up, but somehow when they're incarcerated, they get right with the Lord and they've got great ministries in prison. Now, I'm not looking for that personally, but I will say I'm thankful that that's going on for them. That's awesome. What then, Paul says, what do we do with this? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And in this, I rejoice. Yes, and will rejoice. They're talking about Jesus. And because they're talking about Jesus, Paul's excited. Because even if someone's talking negatively about it, it gives you and I an opportunity to say, wait a minute, that's not really the truth. It's an opportunity, even in the negative sense, from the world's perspective. It's not time for us as the church, the body of Christ, to run and turn our backs on the world and hide away from it. It's not time for that. We've got a world that needs to see this kind of love expressed. Like you, I have found oftentimes the times that God has been moving the most powerfully and effectively has been during those seasons of great despair. Somehow, as we were going through the scriptures, we found this to be true, that when our back's up against the wall and we can't do anything, Jesus does come to us like he came to Paul the Apostle and said, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Paul says, well, then I would gladly then boast in my infirmities and my weaknesses and my inabilities, that the power of Christ might rest upon my life, that God might then move through my life in this fresh new dynamic, this new powerful way, because it's no longer I, but it's Christ in me that's at work.